Here's the GM of the Blue Jays, Ross Atkins. How you doing, Ross?
Good. How are you guys? How's it going, Brian?
We're doing pretty well. You traveling? You in Chicago or staying in Toronto?
Nah, we got our group together here in Toronto around the clock and staying plugged in. So would be, you know, traveling right now would certainly make us less efficient. So we're plugging away, trying to make the organization better every day.
Well, what's that like if somehow you lose a signal or you don't have access to your phone? Like, what kind of panic does that set off this time of year?
You know, it actually is one of the very few challenges of being an international team and being in Canada. We do probably have that hiccup from time to time. It's so minimal, but that's not a good feeling when you have a missed call or you know, the voicemail pops up from out of nowhere. So definitely not a good feeling. It's not something that you have to be available to make sure that you're not missing out on any opportunities. And sometimes, you know, you would think that, you know, there would be time and no one would move without maybe double and triple checking. But, you know, it's definitely an important time to be available.
Ross, when you looked at how long did this deal take to come together? I mean, the Yankees have been talked about for a few weeks. Hap had a couple of wobbly starts in between, you know, 3 weeks ago and now. How did this deal come together?
This one took almost a month. And it was, you know, early on teams targeted Jay as one of the better, I think, because of how he's performing, the character, having been in the playoffs before, in the market, who the competition was in and around Jay, teams were talking about him early, and New York was certainly one of them. So, you know, the discussions, were not quite as frequent early on and as they were in the last week. They were, daily and then became hourly. And, you know, really our thought process on it was to just get the best understanding of, you know, what opportunities would be out there. And I think as we got closer to the deadline, there's always the feeling, or you're always thinking, okay, could there be a little bit better? And it's interesting, as it's human nature, you know, to wait for deadlines to really do or demonstrate and show what your quote unquote best bolt is going to be. And the way that things progressed, and because we spent so much time on it, we felt like we were getting near what that best bolt might be from any of the other teams. So cash was great to deal with, and really, really transparent, very, you know, very communicative, available, thoughtful. And he's also Brian Cashman, the New York Yankees GM, who I'm referring to. He's also just, he's a lot of fun. He's gotten to the point in his career where he's really kind of where every sports executive wants to be, where you have a ton of autonomy, all the resources you could possibly need, tons of depth in his system. He's very well respected and highly regarded. And it's really cool to see someone that has reached that level of excellence and is still extremely humble.
We're chatting with the Ross Atkins, GM of the Blue Jays. So you got Drury and McKinney in return, and you mentioned just how stacked the Yankees are, and that seems to be the case with Drury, who was a guy who came over from Arizona previous couple of years, put up some pretty good numbers, ran into a strange migraine issue earlier in the year, and kids just blew by him. And these are really high-quality kids with the Yankees, and he couldn't find a spot. So take us through your thought process in terms of Brandon Drury, because he's not a young guy necessarily. I believe he'll be 26 in a few weeks. I mean, relatively speaking, he is, but it's not like he's a 20-year-old in Double A or anything like that. Was he the guy you really have been targeting for a month, and if so, why?
No, I mean, there are times you go into certain, you do target players for sure. We weren't targeting Brandon Drury in the industry. Was he important to us with New York Yankees? Of course. We ended up with him. But I think ultimately one of the reasons that we have two very good players, if you look at some of the other rental returns, the Cole Hamels one, the other returns you're seeing in the game, the Familia return, you know, there's a lot of risk, not more in quantity and depth, not near as much certainty, and nor the upside. So we feel great about our return, and I think it's, you know, sometimes not as easy to digest because it may feel a bit redundant and from the position side, but ultimately to acquire a major league potential everyday player, and two of them, we see both players as potential everyday players for someone on an expiring contract is really unusual. That, you know, that may happen in the case of the elite talents, Manny Machado, Chapman, where, you know, you are just going to give up absolutely what it takes to get that level of talent. That's not taking anything away from Jay, but Jay's never been at that caliber of performance that those guys are. So, you know, if you just step away from it objectively and think about the return, we were very pleased with the level of return. And the positional fit is something that we'll take that challenge any day, all day long.
Well, and that's what I wanted to get to as well. You mentioned kind of the redundancy of the position with Drury being an infielder, a guy who plays predominantly first or third. He's played some second base. I know he can play some outfield, but his numbers have not been spectacular out there. You know, you guys, what you have in the system, what you have here right now, and Gurriel Jr. and Travis and Diaz and Solarte, those are all guys who are going to play the infield. Smoke is still on term, and we all know about the two big kids who are coming up, and we expect them to be infielders in Bichette and Vladdy. I mean, how do you find time for these guys, not only over the final 50-plus games this year, but if they're going to be pieces over the next two or three, how does everyone get hacks? How does everyone get in there?
Well, I would say a couple of things. Like, one thing is, if you look at the winning teams and winning organizations, they have that challenge, exactly what you're describing. They have very good players that would be everyday players in other teams that aren't getting everyday at-bats, and they have everyday major league players that are in AAA. So, you know, we're not there yet. We're not a championship team, obviously. We are becoming a championship organization by building depth, and we will get there. Now, the second thing I would say is that all of these pieces, as long as you're agile and you have the ability to get deals done and you understand the industry, and meaning know the talent that is out there and available to you, you know, players are in their currency. They're, you know, so if you are doing a deal, and it, whether it comes in the form of Canadian dollars or U.S. dollars, you're going to be able to figure that out, just like any businessman can do, and make the most out of that talent level. And I think, because it is interesting, you know, we oftentimes do the exercise ourselves where you start to build out diamonds for 2019, 2020, 2021. And I've been working in this game a long time, and we've always done that for fun. It is a fun exercise. But in my experience and our experience, it never looks the same as you build them out. You look back from those diamonds you drew, and we have databases that do it for us now, and it will evolve because of other acquisitions, because of trades, because of injuries, because of health, because of performance, and it is all about having the best possible depth.
Talking with Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins. Ross, I'm curious about Cole Hamels. You mentioned that trade with Chicago yesterday. How much were you keeping an eye on Texas and Hamels as you were trying to get the Hap deal done?
Yeah, I mean, of course, we pay attention to it. We try not to ask questions that we don't want to be asked ourselves. You know, that, you know, who else are you interested in? And there are tactics that other executives will use to distract or potentially devalue assets, and, you know, we're not salesmen, we're looking to execute as many very good deals as possible, and feel that transparency and integrity is extremely important in doing that. And over the long haul, we're going to end up being able to do better or just solid baseball deals if we maintain that approach.
With Hap obviously moving on, but his deal was up at the end of the year. I believe the same thing applies with Estrada Garcia. He may have an option for you guys, but as of now, in terms of guys that you expected to be a part of your 1-5, it's Stroman and Sanchez who have, you know, obviously contracts that would lead to team control for quite some time. But beyond that, I mean, going into 2019, you just mentioned penciling in your diamonds going forward. It would appear to me like you guys got to find at least a couple of starters going forward. Now, maybe Baraki's a guy, and I'd be curious to get your take on how you feel about him. But I mean, that could potentially be some pretty heavy lifting this upcoming offseason. I mean, is that going to be a focal point for you guys filling out the rest of your rotation going forward?
Yeah, I think so. I think now it doesn't mean we won't acquire more position player talent. If it is clear that we are getting the best return by acquiring another shortstop, we will do that. But if it's, now if it's close, not just splitting ties but just close, we're going to definitely be focused on shipping and trying to acquire as much of it as possible. And extremely excited about Sean Reed Foley, extremely excited about TJ Zoik, excited obviously Ryan Barucki, and guys like Sam Gavilio, you can't possibly have enough of those. That's been really a great story for us this year to have acquired in essentially a waiver claim price. And if you look at number four, number five starters, even for championship organizations and teams, they're guys that throw the ball over the plate and can get out and maybe aren't striking out as many players. But your question's a good one, your point's a good one, and we're in line with that. We are going to be focused on acquiring good young pitching.
So the deadline's still got 4 days to go. The big names that have been talked about for most of the month, Ross, are gone. Machado's gone, Happ, Hamels. Do you expect it to be busy between now and the end of the deadline? And do you think you'll be busy?
Yes, I think we will be. I know we are. My phone just beeped in from another executive. I hung up and called you from another executive.
Well, we appreciate that.
Who was it, Ross? Please, tell us.
Just tell us.
No, we have some other guys on expiring contracts. We have players that teams would love to have. So I would expect that a lot more deals occur.
Only players on expiring contracts, or what about guys that are under term, guys that have term?
Are you going to trade Vladdy between now and the end of the month, or what, Ross?
No, I think it's unlikely that we trade guys that we control for a significant time. It's just, it could occur. We're not focused on that. I think when it's pretty easy to flush out just how genuine interest is. Once you start to talk, you can real quickly understand. We know the depth of every system. We know the names that are in certain tiers. So we can ask, 2 to 5 questions and know in a hurry if we need to do the work on trading one of our controllable players.
Well, we'll let you get back at it, and we appreciate you finding some time for us, as you always do. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Ross.
All right, Brian and Gord. Have a great night.
There's Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays. Phone blowing up.